Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400 plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Here's to good friends.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hmm. That is sort of an oaky afterbirth.
Mm. What was that?
She did tell me to get a beer and some cheese fries over at Eskimo Joe's.
That's very nice, lovely. I only hope you feel this way when I'm done. Because I could destroy this night in 2 seconds.
Why is that funny?
Well, I think it's a bit funny to be trying to define nothing.
Smooth as a bourbon on a summer day. Strong as a peated scotch in the winter night. This is a fair warning. The Catholic Man Show is about to begin.
Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go. We're burning daylight.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting with David Niles, Juan in studio with us, controlling the cameras. We have Jimothy, Jimberly.
We try not to do that one.
The Jimberly one?
Yeah, because his daughter's name's Kimberly, and like, even that even gets weird for me, dude. Like,
I didn't make that connection.
Yeah.
We have Jim Spencer here with us this evening.
Jimbo Barbagans. That's the one we've been... For the last 10 minutes, that's what it's been. Jimbo, son of Baggins.
Welcome.
Welcome.
He's like, I wish I wasn't here.
He's thinking like, I definitely shouldn't have come.
Yeah. Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We had a great episode last week with Father Aquinas talking about temperance and appetites. If you did not get a chance to check that episode out, make sure to go back and listen to it on the Catholic Man Show.
My mom said she liked that one.
Nice.
Yeah.
My mom props.
My mom, she listens to the show.
Well, she was the first one that like commented and said, oh, you have those blue and orange uplights in the back. That was really nice. It was like the week that I did it. And I was like, wow, that is observant.
Women.
I know. It's like they are way better than us.
Hilarious.
At almost everything.
We will do that like when we change something in the house, if it's especially if it's when the girls are not around.
Mm-hmm.
Pamela and I will decide or take bets on who's going to notice first among the girls. You know?
Which one normally does?
Sometimes it's Bernadette.
Really?
Yeah. So when we put the cross in our living room,
mm-hmm.
it was Elizabeth, but it's, you know, it's pretty well crucifix. Yeah. It's pretty well distributed. I mean, it's
nice.
Equal opportunity.
Let's try this whiskey, this scotch.
So we're having Akintoshin.
Akintoshin 12.
Akintoshin.
Akintoshin. 12.
You said Akintoshin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Akintoshin 12.
Akintoshin 12. This is, Adam, did you know you're holding one of the only triple distilled single malt scotch whiskeys? Not the only.
One of the only.
Hmm. I don't know how many there are, but that's what it says on the box.
Nice. Well, this 12 is the one that replaced their 10-year. So this is their staple. I haven't had this before, and I really was interested in trying it because it has going to have a sherry taste to it, but it also has from first fill. Careful, bro.
There's a microphone down there. I just kicked it over.
also from first fill bourbon barrels. So I was interested to to try it. What were your thoughts?
I have a cold.
Okay.
So that is needs to be thrown out there. Yeah, I was a little underwhelmed just right off the bat. Finish on the short side of medium.
Okay.
For me, but I would like somebody whose senses are not
prohibited as much. So the tasting notes that the chaps at Master of Malt give, the nose is a cereal sweet nose with notes of guava, mango, and a drizzle of honey. Oaky, the palate says oaky and sweet palate, barley sugar, a little passion fruit, vanilla custard as well. Perhaps some rose petal jelly. Some rose petal jelly. I have no idea what rose petal
is. That
jelly
even
is.
They made that up.
I have no idea if that's even a thing.
After the show, I'm going to Google it.
Okay.
And there's no way there's rose petal jelly.
No. And then the finish, it says a lengthy, dry, oaky finish with barley sweetness and cocoa powder.
I'm going to start making up like all kinds of jelly.
What did you think, Jim? Did you like it? It's too sweet for you. Juan, what about you?
I liked it.
You don't think it's yummy, Jim?
It doesn't hit the yummy scale.
Oh, not on the yummy scale. Goes down real easy. So, you know, like, the thing is, a scotch like this, you know, scotches in general, there's going to be somebody out there who likes it, you know? So, this particular one is not...
It's very Glenmorangie.
Yeah.
Glenmorangie.
Yeah. So if you're
La Santa, it tastes like the La Santa is what it tastes like.
Yeah, I agree. But if you don't like the aggressive, the Islas and the, you know, the smoky and peaty ones, give it a shot. How much was it? Like 70
bucks? $60.
Okay.
So yeah, it'll be good. I'll be interested as we go.
Pretty standard.
So I'm trying my best to get out into the woods soon. It's just, you know, one weekend after another, it's just book.
This is not figurative. You mean literally. You're trying to get out into the woods.
Yeah, okay. trying to get out of town and get the boys out. And it's like just weekend after weekend is booked. And so we're like, man, it'll be 2 months before we can get out.
Yeah.
And so Luke is going to be doing his first fishing tournament this Sunday. He's not aware that this is happening yet.
Oh, wow.
And so he's going down to my father-in-law's this week to go fishing.
Like during the week?
During the week, okay. Yes. We homeschool, so we can...
You can do whatever you want, I know.
We can do school wherever, you know. So.
And today, school is fishing.
Yeah.
And if a man can't fish... Yeah, I don't even know.
Right. And so we watch today. Our kids don't really ever watch TV, but when they do, they typically want to watch fishing shows or hunting shows or something like that.
It's just so funny.
Very rarely ever suggest like want to have like watch cartoons or something like that.
Yeah.
So today we watched the 2021 Bassmasters tournament, and they were like they weren't feeling well today. And so we were trying to keep them from running around. So like we'll watch this, and they, for like 2 hours, just sat there and watched this, and they were starting to figure out what lures to use, and you know, they're sitting there talking about it, all this stuff, and I just found it really interesting. So that they were like that enamored with, I would have never been at 7 or 8 years old watching Bassmasters. I just wouldn't have been. But
me either. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you can get into stuff, you know, sure, when you're a kid.
I just haven't. So anyway, so yeah, he's going to what's called a Rising Stars Fishing Tournament.
Yeah.
This weekend at Ten Killer Lake. And we went to Bass Pro this week, got him some new lures. He is just like...
He's ready.
He is going to be...
But he doesn't even know.
He doesn't know. Well, he has one, but he doesn't know what date. He didn't know that it's this coming weekend.
When are you going to tell him?
Probably...
Like the night before?
Probably the night before or something like that. Because if it rains or something happens, or like he's not very well behaved all week or something like that, you just don't want to ruin it for him. Or him ruin it for himself, really, is a better way to...
Depending on the behavior, then you could say, you know what? There was a fishing tournament this weekend.
Right. I just don't want that. So we're waiting.
In fact, if you needed to, you could, like, in a moment of discipline, you could always just make up a fishing tournament that they don't get to go to now.
Yeah, that's...
You know.
Yeah. parent ethics.
I'm just saying something that could be done.
Anyway, I'm really excited to see how that goes. And
maybe you shouldn't do it, but you could do it.
We'll see. Next week, I'll let you guys know.
But yeah.
It'll be fun to see.
I'll pray for my godson that he wins.
Yes. Through St. Peter. I don't know. Do you pray for the apostles? Weren't really that great at fishing, it seems like, in the Bible. Every time that they had empty nets and they needed Jesus to, like, you know, feed them. And
I think St. James is a patron of
St. James is patron of fishermen. I don't know.
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah.
But after I'm done checking out the rose petal jelly, I'll look into that.
Yeah. They just didn't seem like they were very good fishermen. Every time in the Bible, they're talking about, like, how they, like, were up all night fishing and they were
caught anything. There's no way I would keep throwing the net. Like, it's midnight. You know what, guys? We struck out.
We're going to bed.
Let's go to bed.
Right.
It's like Peter must have been very stubborn. Like, no, I'm not leaving this boat.
Man, it is.
I could kind of see that, actually, him being stubborn like that. So obviously I have a cold. I've been walking around the house all day using my movie announcer voice.
Yes, you know, I know you love doing that with your cold.
So I'd be sitting there at the table.
He loves doing this.
You know, we're all eating dinner, and I'd be like, in a world where Mary is trying to finish the last bites of her chicken nuggets. We didn't have chicken nuggets today, but, you know, like, that's just like, in a world, you know, you just, whatever happens, you just say that.
Right.
And then you narrate whatever's going on.
Yeah.
Her mom is getting really fed up.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, and
no, I'm not available for hire. I know. That's what everybody's thinking.
For voiceover work. Hey, I also want to give a shout out to Juan. This weekend, he was cutting a rug. He was like dancing like a madman out there on the dance floor this weekend.
I've seen him dance. I mean, it's my sister's
a
thing of beauty.
We celebrated my sister's birthday. It was a couple weeks ago, but, you know, she came into town. We did this, and this is what she wanted to do. And so I've hit, like, my dancing bar quota for the year. I've gone twice in, you know, like, 2 months. I normally go, like, twice every 5 years or something like that. But Juan was out there dancing just like a fool, and he was like, hey, is it okay if I go dance with Haley? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I was like, I'll go dance with Joan. And so we're out there dancing, and Joan walks off the bar, off the dance floor and goes, man, Adam, every time when I'm dancing with you, I sure do feel white. And I go, well, thanks, Joan. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh, it's not you. It's me.
Yeah. No, it's not.
It's me.
We'll be right back.
This segment of the Catholic Man Show is brought to you by the Catholic Woodworker. Go to thecatholicwoodworker.com for heirloom quality home altars, crucifixes, and rosaries.
It's also the only place where you can get the official rosary of the Catholic Man Show. Type in promo code TCMS for 10% off all purchases. TCMS for the Catholic Man Show. CatholicWoodworker.com.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We've got Jimbo Baggins, Juan Posada in the house. I was worried Jim wasn't going to come today.
I was too, actually. Kind of.
I'm feeling a little sluggish, and I was like, man, if somebody breaks in today, I'm just probably going to let him take all our stuff. I mean, so I was just like, whatever.
Yeah.
You can have it.
Just take it.
You went through all the trouble to get here. Like, you can have it, man. Just whatever. I just want to go home.
So
that was only if they came. I'm really excited to be here, Adam.
Yes. I'm glad you are.
Yes.
Yes.
So we're talking about our man. This is our man gear. Are you going to say something?
Yeah, I had an update for you.
Oh, please.
Something that, you know.
Sorry.
I try to update you every once in a while. Typically on the show.
Yeah, I know it is. You like to do this.
This is like an opportunity.
Oh, by the way. Let me tell you something that you're obligated to do.
Yeah. Next week, you're speaking at the...
Right. it's across the country.
Right. our Pat Flynn course that we're doing...
It's coming together.
Or that Pat Flynn is doing.
Pat Flynn is doing, right.
But we're doing it for our patrons.
He's doing it for our patrons.
He is doing it for our patrons. It is going to be launched in about 2 weeks, roughly.
May. We're looking at May.
Yeah, mid-May. He has, it's five courses talking about the philosophy behind nutrition, behind fitness, and then like how to utilize kettlebells in a way that's not going to hurt you.
Yeah. I like getting his opinions. Nutrition is one of those things that, like, of all the science, there's good evidence for a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. but there's not a definitive answer. You know, people are different, mm-hmm. different kinds of ways of being in fit. Like, he's fit in a regular way. You know, like, I'm not trying to be a bodybuilder. I don't care about that kind of fitness, you mm-hmm. know, but he's like good, regular dude fit.
Right. And so he's going to give a breakdown of basically why it's important for us as Catholic men to be fit, to take care of our bodies, and then also how to do it. So if you've never been taught, you know, when you walk into a gym, if you've never had like a personal trainer or you've never
super,
had a coach.
Yeah, super...
Intimidating,
that's the word.
Very intimidating. Yeah. You know, it's like all these different machines. You don't really know how to utilize them. You don't want to look like a fool.
And you will if you don't know.
Right. Like, and you could actually really get hurt, right?
Sure.
Is you could end up really hurting yourself.
Definitely.
And so Pat's going to go through and give you kind of a step-by-step on how to utilize this. And so mid-May is when we're going to be launching this. It's a five-course series. We're really excited about that.
Patreon.com/ The Catholic Man Show.
And they're also, like, as we continue going throughout the year, we're going to have videos on, like, for instance, I'm hoping to have a video on how to carve a turkey well.
Yes. We've wanted to do this for a long time because I just want to know. Even if I get a chicken breast, mm-hmm. just at dinner, the only way that it gets into my mouth is just by mutilating the whole... I mean, it's like I just kind of start hacking at it and I have success... And, you know, like, oh, there's a bone there.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
So I would love to know, like, oh, by the way, here's how you do it. So
you don't look like anything.
And it goes well. So right. It goes well.
And, you know, the ethics of being able to utilize the meat to
yeah,
the fullest potential.
I know. Because
you don't waste it.
It's not cool to pick up the bones and, like, start gnawing on them at the table.
Right. So
that's
anyway.
Not good
there's
manners.
There's other things that we're doing on Patreon if you guys want to. Go check that out.
Okay.
Support the show.
So, patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow. Man gear today is walkie-talkie. We're talking about excommunicating, being excommunicated.
I thought you were going to do an axe.
Ah.
That would have been
good, too. Have we not done an axe? I think we've done an axe.
I'm sure we have.
We've done an axe. Walkie-talkies. You know...
Getting the axe.
Everybody... Not everybody. I think everybody... liked playing with walkie-talkies
growing up,
you know,
sure.
Depending on how old you are. If you're really old, then it was the can and the string, which is also still cool. I just want to say that.
I agree.
The can and the string is still cool
mm-hmm.
because it works. It's like awesome, but
it's a great science project
right.
for homeschoolers.
Yeah. Especially if you have like somebody who lives next door to you, who you're friends with and your windows face each other. Right.
Yes.
You know, string it out.
Right.
Anyway, walkie-talkies are very awesome. They've come a long way since mm-hmm. we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Adam, we have a walkie-talkie story. I don't know if you remember this. When we went to Michigan, when you came with
yes.
us in like first grade, our dads like rented some walkie-talkies for the car ride up there. They were
because this is pre-cell phones, right?
They were about the size of this whiskey box,
right?
Okay, with a big antenna that came out.
Mm-hmm.
But we were in the car, and if you didn't pull the antenna out, they didn't really work very well. So they, our dads got these big,
like
magnet,
like
antennas,
the CB radio
yeah.
antennas.
Yeah, they magneted to the top of our vans as we were driving down the road, and I remember like it was awesome.
I totally forgot about this.
This is like circa 1991,
yeah.
92. You know, like
I totally forgot about that.
Cell phones. I don't know. Maybe bag phones were a thing. I don't know, but it was awesome because you couldn't. You know, like if you're caravanning because it's, you know, 1,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to,
yeah,
like,
because we were driving from Tulsa up to northern Michigan,
right? Like, if you're in the back, if you're not the car in front, and somebody has to stop to go to the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
and you're following the person in front,
right?
How do you signal You know, so having the walkie-talkies, it's just like awesome. And
of course, our dads being our dads, I think at one point my mom said, picture us doing this
like back then, you know, like, bro,
yeah,
I got some walkie-talkies.
Totally abusing
Check
it.
Check these bad boys out.
Right, totally abusing it. I think at one point my mom was like, okay, Tim, you're going to have to turn that off for just a little bit. Or I think she like took it away from him and said like, I'm in charge of this.
We had
for a little
code
bit.
Names. I don't remember what they were, but like one car was, you know,
right.
Of course we had code names.
Of course you did, yeah.
But the walkie-talkies of today are not the same. Like these days, there's technology built into it.
Because I think like we went like, if we were like half a mile apart or even less, maybe it was.
Oh, half a mile would have been way pushing
too,
it.
Yeah, I mean, we basically had to be like right beside each other.
It was like 100 yards. Right. They would work fine. And, you know, we're following each other on the highway, so we didn't ever really get that far apart. But
right. It was just really funny.
Yeah.
Because now walkie-talkies, you can go miles and miles.
Right. And we had like all these AA batteries in the car. Because, you know, they'd last for like 5 hours or something. I need 10 more double A's. Anyway, the walkie-talkies you can get today, man, they're just crazy. In fact, as I was researching about walkie-talkies, I was thinking, when your kids turn 16, they don't need a cell phone. Give them a walkie-talkie. You know, like, if they're driving around in town, I mean, you can get a walkie-talkie. They're expensive if you want to get one that goes far, like $350. You know, like that's what you're looking at. But a cell phone might be $300. I mean, like or $1,000 or $2,000, right? Because if there's your 16-year-old, they want the good one, right? They don't want the flip phone, right? So you could give them a $350 walkie-talkie. And, you know, get a hold of them anywhere all the time.
It's so embarrassing.
Exactly. The worst.
It would be so embarrassing. Because there's no mute button. There's no,
right.
It's a speakerphone constantly.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. No, you can put it. They have, like, headset plug-ins.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you could definitely do them on a headset. But you can't call your girlfriend.
Right.
You know, like, you can call mom.
Yeah.
That's it. But like a sweet set of walkie-talkies is awesome to have.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you go camping or hiking or fishing.
Hunting.
Yeah. Oh, big time hunting. Yeah. Because like if you're in one blind and somebody else in another one, you hear a gun. It's like, hey, was that you?
Right.
Because very, very likely there's no cell phone reception. Right. Sometimes there is. Sadly.
You honestly hope there's not.
Yeah. Honestly, I get mad. It's like, I have 4G out here. Where are we?
Yeah.
There's a tower out here?
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous.
Like, yeah. It's like, I have 4G here, but not in my backyard.
Right. How does that
work? You're like, what is up?
Yes. No,
I actually have Verizon, and they're awesome. Like, they really are.
I am
Verizon
actually,
is not paying us, but they could if they wanted to.
I actually am in the market for getting, like, I will be getting some nice walkie-talkies soon with, you know, my boys going out hunting and things like that soon. That'll be something that I will need to get. So, so you said, like, $350 will give her, like, a 30-mile radius?
Yeah, about 30 miles.
Wow. I didn't realize.
So, and that's for, like, it's a radio wave. You know, it's a walkie-talkie is a radio wave. So, FM radio is line of sight. So, the distance you're going to get in town is
much different.
Significantly different.
Maybe
it goes like 30 miles, like from the top of a mountain to the bottom of a mountain, that's a big mountain, I know, but like hypothetically, you're not, I mean, I don't know, maybe you'd get 10 miles in the city, right? Because you've got buildings and stuff. Sure. That's
or
all.
Or if you're in Kansas.
Right.
Then
yeah, I mean,
you
if you're
a
just
long
like,
way, you go
right.
You max it out. Yeah. That's actually where they do the walkie-talkie test runs.
Yeah, but the wind, bro.
Right. Yeah.
The wind. So then they have different types of walkie-talkies. So they have others that just use different technology.
Mm-hmm.
It's like maybe more like shortwave radio,
mm-hmm.
and those can go 1,000 miles.
Have you ever wanted to do like ham radio?
No.
I've like kind of wanted to do it.
Why?
To learn.
I know that people
as
like,
a leisure
people get like way into it.
Yeah.
I don't know what I've never wanted to do it because I don't even know what it is you do. When you say
broadcast, you can like broadcast from it.
Broadcast what?
Whatever you want. Like the Catholic Man Show.
Is anybody listening?
No.
Right. And it costs a lot of money.
I mean, is anybody listening to this? No.
Some people are.
But
I'm pretty sure.
I mean, when communication fails.
Right, exactly. Also, if you're a prepper and you don't have... If all you have is like the $20 Motorola... Motorola really dominates. There's other brands, but Motorola... They have the walkie-talkie game locked down.
Okay.
Elizabeth has a kid Motorola walkie-talkie set that works like... It goes like a mile.
Wow.
It's pretty good.
So when we get back, we're going to talk about like how not to get excommunicated?
Yes. Or if you want to get excommunicated, how to do that.
Poor decision on your
bad,
part.
Bad choices.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Sipping a little scotch, just got done talking about walkie-talkies. And now we're going to discuss how not to get excommunicated, something that is very important
to
know.
In a world where people are making bad decisions.
You just had to do that.
Pope Francis is excommunicating them.
I think excommunication is something that is misunderstood by a lot of people.
But also, like, awesome. Like, there's... Not that we like it when people get excommunicated.
Right.
But, like, there's something that... There's, like, man...
It's a mercy.
It is a mercy. But it's also, if you know, like, when people are being... the fact that people get excommunicated lets you know that there is order in the world. Like, there's just something actually kind of reassuring that the church has this discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not... We don't rejoice, or I'm not reassured that other people are being excommunicated. That's not reassuring to me. But that the church has a discipline like this that
has
says,
the power to bind and loose.
Yeah, well, and that she exercises
can
it.
Exercise,
you know,
it. Sure,
for the benefit of the faithful is actually is I think reassuring.
And we've seen even in the Bible with Saint Paul whenever he was talking with the Corinthians. The guy who was like
he married a he's sleeping with his
sleeping
mom
with
or
his,
something
his stepmom basically you know and yeah. So he basically said like listen you can't be doing that
yeah he told him to shun the dude
right and then what happened the dude repented
yeah.
And then Paul said he is one of you know receive him with open arms
right
and that's the whole purpose of excommunication right it's to show the severity of what the action is that the person is doing
right.
In the body of Christ. And it's a...
Yeah, so that their life it shares the reality. Their outward life shares the reality of their spiritual life because spiritually they have removed themselves from the church,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so in order that they might come to know that, they are physically removed from the church
mm-hmm.
in a public way, you know.
Because it has to be a public sin,
yeah.
right? It has to be. Am I right? Now,
no,
listen.
No,
I'm,
it does
I'm,
not have to be a public
I'm not a
sin.
Canon lawyer, but
no, not all. There's two types of excommunication.
Okay.
There's formal and informal. So the formal one is called ferende sententia, which just means it's Latin for the sentence to be passed. It's also ad homine is another word to say it because it comes from the man ab homine. The informal one is late sententia, which just means of the sentence already passed. Okay, so we would call that one an automatic excommunication. So these days, there are very, 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 very few formal excommunications. I mean, that just doesn't... Because that comes from... it can come from bishops, your local bishop.
Mm-hmm.
So that just doesn't happen very often, you know? But automatic excommunication, there's all kinds of things that incur an automatic excommunication. Things like procuring an abortion. I mean,
mm-hmm.
There are Catholics, I don't know how many, I'm assuming thousands a day who fall into that category. There's certainly a large number of them. So there's all kinds of things that incur this late sententia, the automatic excommunication.
Okay.
And so... But both, like we said, are there as a mercy. They're there actually as a form of charity.
Because justice and charity, like justice and mercy, are go hand in hand. And a lot of times, with justice and mercy breeds charity. You know, or charity breeds justice and mercy. So you have to have both. It's not like one or the other.
Yeah.
It's kind of like social, when we say social justice, that's a redundant term.
Yeah.
Justice is always, social, served in the justice form.
Yeah. Aquinas has a good quote about justice without mercy is like, it's not whatever. I can't remember what it is, but like if you Google it, it's really good. So this really is a mercy because without it, the people who are being falling under the this penalty might just continue with their lives, and very likely, or you know, they could die in this state of unrepentantness. Unrepentantness, if that's a word, you know what I mean. So the excommunication is a very effective because it is often public. Well, less often these days. It was the idea behind it that it would be public.
I thought it had to be a public sin.
Well,
I'm pretty positive that that is true.
No, because one thing that's a very we'll get to is like let's say a priest breaks the sixth commandment with a woman, commits adultery. If he he will not be excommunicated for that. However, if he hears her confession of that sin that he committed with her,
that's an automatic excommunication.
He is automatically excommunicated.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so there's definitely nothing public
about that.
About that. So it does not have to be public. Oh, yeah, and I would say abortion is also not a public act. It's private by nature. You know, you... I mean, you're not doing it in front of other people. You know, it's... There's confidentiality.
Sure.
You know, so... originally, when you were excommunicated, the idea is that you were to be shunned. Shun.
And reshun.
Unshun. So there was a... At the Council of Rome in 1079, the Pope, Pope Gregory the Seventh at the time, he made exceptions. Because there was no exceptions until he did this for family members. So the person who was excommunicated was to be shunned, but he said, all right, well, the spouse of the person excommunicated doesn't have to shun them. The mother, the children, even the servants don't have to, of this person, they don't have to shun them. Or like, or if you have to do, if there's just something that like forces you to communicate with them, you may.
Okay.
But other than that,
our good friend, one of our good friends just texted me and let me know that it has to do with the denial of Holy Communion. It has to be a public sin, not a private sin.
Oh, okay.
Where I was...
That it's caused scandal.
Right. That's where I apologize. I knew I had read something a while back ago. There's also a really good book by Dr. Edward Peters. I believe he's a doctor. He's a canon lawyer. He's on Twitter as well, but he has a whole book on excommunication. So if this is something that you want to learn about, if you're a canon lawyer or considering to become a canon lawyer, he has a really good book on it.
I don't know that the whole denial of communion, I don't know that necessarily means the person is excommunicated. You know, so like, for instance, if a couple's living together... Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get into that because I'm not brushed up on what would be right and wrong for a priest to deny someone communion. But so that was Pope Gregory. He did that in 1079.
Okay.
400 years later in 1418, Pope Martin V, he drew a distinction between excommunicated persons. Okay. So this is where we're getting to what we call the
formal
tolerati. Those who are tolerated, not... So this is the first time he said that, no, some people are excommunicated, but they're not shunned.
Okay.
Which is apart from the vitandi. The former was tolerated, and the latter was to be shunned. The last time I could find somebody, this is the most recent case where I could find someone who was excommunicated... vitandus or vitandi, same thing, depends on like how you're
conjugating
the word, right? Was in 1950. Anti-Pope Michael Collin.
Pope Michael?
No, this is 1950.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's
totally different dude. But he was of the Sede Vacantis group, Apostles of Infinite Love. That's what they called themselves. He announced that he had taken the name Clement the 15th. He had, so this Michael Collin, he was a priest, and so Pope Pius the 12th laicized him in 1951 and publicly declared him by name a Vitandus Excommunicate. So, like, that's the most recent one I could find of someone. It's like, not only
did he repent before he died?
I don't know.
Man,
the Wikipedia page didn't say.
Yeah, I hope he did.
I also really hope he did.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, like, it just doesn't happen very often that, because this is not just a formal excommunication. So that would have been.
Maybe, I don't think we've even, like, defined what excommunication is. We kind of jumped into two types of excommunication.
Yeah, you're right. So an excommunication, when you're excommunicated, whether automatically or formally, you are removed from the church. You are not allowed to take part in the sacraments or in the liturgy. You're not even really supposed to go into the church. You are removed from the communion. You are not.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so it's like you are not.
I did not realize that.
It's not like you're unbaptized.
I thought that you just could not partake in the sacraments any longer.
You are not supposed to attend.
Mm. Wow.
So it's not like, oh, I go and I don't receive communion. No, you're actually not allowed to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how serious it is. I mean, it's meant so that it is prescriptive. Like this is, it's supposed to be medicine. You know, it's supposed to be difficult. And certainly in times gone by, it was much, much more difficult when the church was really the center of the culture in Western society anyway, where if you were removed from the church, you almost couldn't buy and sell things. You know, like, it was a very, very severe. It was the worst thing that could happen to you. It'd be better to die than to be excommunicated. Back in the day, a lot of people wouldn't feel that way now,
right? And so, there's not a lot of excommunications that are happening right now.
Mercy without justice is the mother of all dissolution. Justice without mercy is cruelty. St. Thomas Aquinas. Way to go, Juan. He found it on the internets. All right, when we get back, we're going to keep talking about excommunication. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
To say about excommunication, there is only one segment left.
You're just jealous. You're just jealous that you don't have a cold and that you can't do it too.
Even if I had a cold, I couldn't do
it. I see the jealousy in your eyes. Adam,
sorry.
Your eyes, they give you away. I see right through you.
I can't hide the lion eyes.
Okay, so let's get into like some examples of excommunication.
Okay.
Because excommunication removes you from the church. Like,
this is something you don't want to do.
Yeah, and it all of these things involve presumably mortal sin. You know, we don't know that it's mortal sin, but it's certainly grave. It's a grave matter, right? Under circumstances where the persons involved should know better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, these are things that would be a formal excommunication. If you do these things, you won't be automatically excommunicated, but there would be a trial. And then they actually have, like, a ceremony where they declare you anathema.
It's
epic.
Like Beckett, that movie Beckett.
Yes, exactly. Like, and it's, like, so awesome. Yeah. You know, like, it's sad that, but also you're, like, joyful that maybe the person will return.
Right.
But the ceremony, they have the ceremony with, like, monks and robes and candles, right? It's like. Right. Sweet.
Yeah.
Wow, that dude just got excommunicated. So if a person...
I don't think sweet's the right word.
Well, you know what I mean. Yeah. Like, okay. It's epic. So if a person tries to celebrate the Mass without being a priest, you could be formally excommunicated. If you hear a confession or try to absolve someone without being able to absolve someone, you could be excommunicated formally. If you break the seal of confession indirectly or directly... So there are more than just priests are bound by the seal of confession. I did not know this. Did you know if you're standing in line to go to confession and you overhear what somebody says, that you too are bound by the seal of confession. And if
isn't
you
that the worst,
if you say something, if you tell somebody, you could be formally excommunicated.
Isn't that the worst of being in line and like you're trying your best?
I hate it. I panic.
Oh, I panic too. Dude. I start humming.
I'll sing. That's what I do. I sing something in my head really loud.
Yeah.
And it's like, but I'm usually in that moment trying to like wrap up my
your own examination of conscience.
Yeah. And now I can't because like the dude in front of me like is hard of hearing and is shouting at the priest, you
right.
know,
man, like priest, like please, like have like
it just makes me want to go ah.
Yeah, when they have those you know, little sound machines out there, or they have yeah. like they play like classical or
please,
music or
like I want priests now to know this. When I get old, or if I like if something happens, like if I use a jackhammer too much and all the manly stuff I do,
right,
and I get hard of hearing young,
right,
I want you to stop me. Like yes. if I'm being loud, please like stop. So like, so tell me to like to be quieter.
I
want to know.
I'm right next to you. You don't need to yell.
Okay. So so yeah, there's
it is the worst though.
But you're bound in that circumstance. The seal of
of
confession.
Wow.
Oh, interpreters. Some people need interpreters to go to confession. In certain circumstances, so the interpreter is allowed into, but they would be bound under the seal of confession.
I've had one of my kids go into confession with me before when they were young. Mm-hmm. Not that they would remember it at this point.
Pamela
anyway.
Does that all the time.
Yeah,
it's like mom 101. All the moms who are listening are like, pfft.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I've done it 1,000 times.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, someone who breaks penal law allowing an excommunication to be enacted on a local level, we'll skip that one because that's actually about bishops who excommunicate people who shouldn't be. If you omit stubbornly, as an Eastern Catholic priest, the commemoration of the hierarchy in the divine liturgy and in the divine praises, you could be formally excommunicated. I don't get that one. But well, these
David Bates, that's on you.
But if you stubbornly do it, if it's an accident, it's no big deal. But if you say no,
we're relying on David Bates. Just make sure that all happens.
If you commit violence against a patriarch or a metropolitan, if you incite sedition against the hierarchy, if you commit murder as an Eastern Catholic, so that one only applies to Eastern Catholics. Latin Rite people, we can murder people without fear of formal excommunication. You might go to hell all the same, right? But for them, if you kidnap, wound, or seriously mutilate or torture people, also only for Eastern Catholics.
What?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch. The rest of them are only for Eastern Catholics, and they get kind of funny. But those
not
are
funny.
It's like you need excommunication to like keep. I don't know. It's like, why is it? The funny part is that it's like only for Eastern Catholics. Yeah. You know, it's like Latin Rite people. You get a pass. No worries. It's totally cool. Okay, so those are formal excommunication, automatic excommunication, or late sententia.
So this is like you do it; it's
automatic. So if you
the bishop doesn't have to say it or anything, it's
automatic, ipso facto.
Okay.
If you are a heretic, schismatic, or an apostate, automatically excommunicated. If you desecrate the Eucharist, a person who physically attacks the Pope, automatically excommunicated. A priest who in confession absolves a partner with whom they have violated the sixth commandment.
Wait.
So we mentioned that one.
Uh-huh.
A bishop who consecrates another bishop without a papal mandate. So think of Lefebvre. He was automatically excommunicated for that because he shouldn't have done it. A priest.
Obedience is key, guys.
Right. Yeah. Like you can't. Yeah. That's not the way to get bishops. A priest who violates the seal of confession, he is automatically communicated. So if you overheard someone, you're not automatically excommunicated. But if a priest does it, he's automatically excommunicated. A person who procures an abortion, accomplices who are needed to commit an action that has an automatic excommunication penalty. So that means if you drive someone to have an abortion, or if you like help someone punch the Pope, or other things, if you're a schemer. So there's been some abuses of excommunication. I just want to share one with you, Adam.
Okay.
In 1304, a priest, a bishop by the name of John Dalderby, Bishop of Lincoln, that's in England.
Oh, not Nebraska.
Not Nebraska. Excommunicated all those persons in the town of Newport Pagnell who knew the whereabouts of Sir Gerald Salvain's wayward falcon and failed to return it. You're all excommunicated. Every last one of you.
Were falcons like super important?
I don't know, but like, Sir Gerald Salvain, obviously a friend of Bishop John Dalderby,
what, like,
wanted his falcon back and knew that those scoundrels over in Newport knew where it was, and they were
call some favors. I can pull some strings.
You know what? I'll excommunicate him. Yeah. That'll teach him. I hereby declare anathema all those who know the whereabouts of the falcon and keeping it to themselves.
Oh,
okay,
man, that's hilarious.
So, what I really want to get to is there are five. Really, there's seven, but there are five in canon law. Two more have been added since. Things
appropriate, like modo proprio. Is that what it's called? Like, whenever they've been added,
I don't know.
Modo proprio.
Don't ask me hard questions, okay?
Sorry,
I forget.
I just want to take this moment to say I apologize.
Okay, so these five things. A lot of those things, like abortion. If you committed abortion, you used to have to go to confession to the bishop.
Right.
You could not receive absolution unless now. That has been delegated to the just every pastor, you know, priests.
It wasn't that because Pope Francis, like the year of mercy. Like,
no, I think it was before that. I think it was actually John Paul II who did that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that to be sure, but it was. I think it was before. So anyway, these things only the Pope can lift the excommunication. You have to formally solicit Rome to have this excommunication lifted. So. If you a person who throws away the consecrated species or takes or retains them for sacrilegious purposes, they are automatically excommunicated. And these are all excommunications that are reserved. So if you're doing that to commit,
dude, one of our good friends, Jim Finster, the Finster, he wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning every morning in reparation for those who commit like acts against the Eucharist.
I'm trying to get him to move to Tulsa, you know.
I know, I really want him to. Like, that is epic. You know, because 3 a.m. is actually the time that they typically do the Black Mass.
It's the inverted.
3 p.m. of My Mercy.
Right, because Jesus died on the cross at 3 p.m.
Right, so he gets up at 3 a.m. to say prayers.
And he's like, take that, Satan.
Yeah.
What?
That is epic.
What? I dare you to punch me.
Jim is the best. He's over there like,
Satan, punch me. It'll be salvific.
Yeah. The Finster's awesome.
Okay, number two, a person who uses physical force against the Roman pontiff. Look, let me just tell you, do not, under any circumstances, punch the Pope.
You've already told me this.
But of all of these, it stands out because that is the only one of the list that is a vitandus excommunication. So all of these five... Or all of everything on this list is you're not to be shunned. However, if you hit the Pope, not only can he alone lift it, you're also to be the faithful would commit, like, I don't know if it's a sin, but they would be doing something. They'd be certainly being disobedient to the laws of the canon law and to Mother Church if they didn't shun you. Okay, so like. Also, the Pope's in Rome. There's a lot of Catholics in Rome. Okay, so like, nobody will talk to you. Maybe like some tourists from weird parts of the world or something. I don't know, but so definitely
don't do that.
No matter what he does, don't punch the Pope. Okay, a priest who acts against the prescript.
Not gonna do it.
A priest who acts against the priest. Look up 977 in here,
okay?
Because this one is a priest who acts against the prescript of Canon 977. Oh, that is where if you commit
the absolution of the we already discussed
the sixth commandment. If you break it, and you can't, So okay, then a bishop who consecrates another bishop, that's also on here. Only the Pope can forgive that. A confessor who directly violates the sacramental seal, and then finally the other two that have been added: attempting to confer the sacrament of holy orders on a woman.
Yeah, that's JP2. I think he instituted
Pope Benedict.
Oh.
I think.
Okay.
Violating the oath of secrecy taken during the papal conclave, but that's only for non cardinals. So like, if you're one of the housekeepers or one of the cooks, and you overhear something.
Same way with seal of confession.
Exactly. Very similar. Anyway, we're gonna keep talking about this a little bit more.
Okay.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Do
Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And you want, when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the great, the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world.
You're right. I think that was Benedict and not JP2, but I think JP2 brought it up.
So I have a question, because you said that excommunication meant that you were away from the sacraments, yep, and you couldn't enter the church. But you said that getting an abortion was excommunication.
Yeah.
So if you're excommunicated and you get an abortion, well, then you're not supposed to get the sacraments either. So how do you get reconciliation?
Well,
confession.
Confession would be... Yeah. So
my question along that line is, how do you formally, from a formal excommunication, how do you come back?
Okay.
And from the informal one, yeah, how do you come back?
So the question is, if you're formally excommunicated, you know, you're not supposed to be, and when I say, I should have been more clear when I said you're not supposed to enter the church, it's for, you're not supposed to enter the church for liturgies. Like, it's not like you can't put step foot on church property. Cause yeah, it's like, otherwise, how do you even go to confession, right? But if you're, let's say you're formally excommunicated, there is a process, and so like, let's just say it's like one of the big ones. You punched the Pope, or like you know, John Paul II, he was shot. Okay, so that would also fall into this, because
you know,
because really it says physical force, person who uses physical force. So like, if you try to run the Pope over with your car. On purpose. It wasn't an accident. You're formally excommunicated. Well, no, that's an, actually, let's not use that because that's not a formal excommunication. That's automatic. Let's just say you're formally excommunicated. The process is that you petition Rome that you desire reconciliation, and they will, you know, accept that. You go before the Pope and he absolves you of your excommunication. And so that is not a the sacrament of confession. So it's not spiritual absolution. It's canonical absolution. And then from there you go to another confessor to confess for spiritual absolution. So that's like the process for formal excommunication.
So can a bishop lift a formal?
Yes. Right. Yes.
Formal excommunication out. Can they?
Yes, they can. Typically, the person who excommunicates you is the person who will lift your excommunication. But unless it's one of these seven reserved excommunications, which
you don't want to do.
Honestly, I think all of these are latae sententia. I don't think any of them are formal. Latte.
I wish we had a really good friend who was a canon lawyer that we.
These are all automatic excommunication. All these reserved excommunications, they're all automatic.
If you are a canon lawyer and want to be our friend, reach out to us.
Where is Harrison when we need him?
Yeah, we know somebody.
Well,
but
yeah,
he's not a canon lawyer. He's just a.
He's a canon lawyer.
Is he?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
No, he's not.
I think he's a lawyer. No, I don't. No, I don't think he is.
I would think that he knows a lot about canon law,
but I don't think he went to school.
I think that he's
law.
Probably an enthusiast, which in his case is probably good enough.
Aficionado.
Yeah, aficionado. So that's how it would be.
We'll have him on the show sometime. I also got Bishop Conrad.
He's been on the show.
Yeah.
He was like on episode like 5 or something.
15 or something. Like, I wasn't there.
You weren't there. And that was, he was foundational for the show, dude. He introduced me anyway to Laphroaig. That was like when we had Laphroaig on the show.
Yeah.
And I went like,
He may not want to. He may not want to be on the show anymore, though. Now that he's like officially my boss.
Oh, I don't. He's not my boss. Hey, before we record, tell me all the stuff you want me to say, and I'll say it. It's fine. You can't even fire me.
No, I mean, I think that would be. So I also got Bishop Condola.
Yeah, I know. Like, we need to get him on the show.
Talk about
he lives
domestic
like
church
half a mile away.
I know.
He should just hang out here sometime.
I agree.
We're going to get him on the show.
You didn't say, finish the second part of your explanation.
What's okay. The third part of your second part?
Secunda, secunda. What is it?
You said formal. No, informal. Oh. I was somebody that's informal.
Yeah, so informal. Informal, for the most part, so all the, unless it's one of these reserved sins, which is you desecrate the Eucharist, physical force against the Pope, a priest hearing the confession of the woman he just committed, broke the sixth commandment with, a bishop consecrating another bishop illicitly, or a confessor breaking the seal of confession, attempting to confer holy orders on a woman, or breaking the secrecy during a papal conclave. Those are all automatic excommunications. Those that I just listed are reserved that only the Pope. So you would still do the same thing. You would have to solicit Rome.
So, but a priest
forgiven.
Giving or a bishop denying communion to somebody is not the same thing as being excommunicated.
I, once again, have not looked this answer up to be sure. I can think of circumstances that don't seem to fall under the excommunication.
The criteria that you're laying
out. For instance, in all of the research I was doing, I didn't see anything about attempting marriage with a member of the same sex, which is a public act.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is by nature always a public act. That to me seems like something that would be a good reason to deny someone communion. If you have someone who's a member of your parish, a prominent member of your parish, who attempts marriage with a member of the same sex, that could give great scandal to to your parish. If you continued to allow him, I mean, first of all, like he would have to be. It's not enough just for him to have gone to confession and repented, because the parish doesn't know that he did that, right? And so they see him receiving communion, and it's like, you know, he just got married, like, on Friday to another dude, and it's Sunday, and you're letting him receive communion, you know? Like, even if on Saturday he had this big conversion, because there needs to be a public decree. I mean, you have to avoid scandal in that circumstance. I think, though, pastorally, there could be room to allow him to receive, if he had repented, to allow him to receive communion in private after Mass. You know, something like that. I'm really shooting from the hip here.
That's dangerous.
I do it a lot. I do it a lot. I'm still alive for now. But anyway, I mean, like, so I don't think, just to answer your question, I think that there is a difference between being excommunicated and being denied communion. Now, a lot of the time, the reason they should, people like, okay, you take Nancy Pelosi, someone like her should be denied communion, or even the vice president, Joe Biden, should be denied communion.
He's actually the president, even.
You're right. You're right. He is the president. Yeah, the president, Joe Biden, formerly vice president. It's been a long night. Anyway, I apologize.
We can just say politicians.
He should be denied communion because he's pro-choice. He publicly supports and votes for legislation that promotes and enhances abortion, right? That's something that you should be, it's very easy to say that falls under the automatic communication. Accomplices who are needed to commit an action that is an automatic excommunication penalty. I'm not sure if you could really say he's an accomplice to an abortion. He didn't, like, drive this, like, this person. But still, I mean, I think that actually voting for pro-choice legislation because it's pro-choice, you know, you like that's the reason you're voting for it. I think it does incur an automatic excommunication. I mean, I think I could be wrong. I totally be wrong on that. You know, like we're not canon lawyers, so we can be wrong. It's no big deal. If we're wrong, it's just like, well, I'm not a canon lawyer. You know, I'm just doing my best. Anyway, it's a problem. It's problema.
It's problema. Jim has something to say.
Jim wants to speak.
Well, one of our patrons is asking about the camp out. Just
wanted some details. Juan, have you had a chance to confirm this? We will confirm this maybe next week, possibly. Potentially.
The camp out. Yes.
You're talking about the camp out.
Yes.
By next Sunday, we will have a date for the camp out.
Mucho dates.
We have a date. Like, our tentative date is the last weekend of September. The last weekend of September, which is like maybe the 24th, 25th, 26th, somewhere around in there of September, is what we're shooting for. Obviously, we have to confirm with Clear Creek Monastery. Yeah, so it's the 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th of September. That's when we're shooting for. We have to clear that with the monks at Clear Creek Monastery or Clear Creek Abbey.
They're pretty chill, really, when it comes to the dates.
I think that we can get it confirmed, but I hesitate to say one way or the other without that.
We've done the camp out on like maybe their second busiest weekend of the year in the past. We've had held the camp out on the chant weekend.
Right.
2 years ago, I think.
Mm-hmm. Last year's camp out was awesome.
It was so good. It's gotten better every year. And it didn't storm on us this right. last year.
I think that was probably...
That was a big deal.
That was a big, big part.
It was a departure from tradition, really.
Right. All right, let's cut it.
The camp out is so awesome.
So much fun.
I get jacked for it. Okay, one. Shut it down.